Okay, I had an audible when I came in tonight regarding a phone number. Some of you may be in touch with Bob DiMarino to wish him well. I know some of you have been helping him out with different things. I'm very grateful for that. But the number that is in the directory apparently is not correct. So he's changed it. So it is now 223-307-0696. Apparently, if you call the number that's in the directory, you'll get some Latino folks who would rather that you didn't call them. So let's all practice together. Lo siento mucho. I'm very sorry. Okay, good. If you do that, but if you keep that in mind, that'd be great. I'd like to start off with talking about the vote that's been on the back bulletin board. Hope you've had a chance to think about that. As you are welcome to talk to me and to others. Maybe we could just get a show of hands of members 18 years and over. If you don't know if you're a member, we can check that out. If you don't know if you're 18, I can't really help you there. I don't guess ages of people. So please keep your hands up until you get a ballot in your hand, and then you can put them down. And when I have all of my hands free, we'll be talking. But essentially, what we're trying to do is give the front of the church a bit of a facelift and also take care of some practical issues. So what we'll be looking at are some new front doors. That's going to be the bulk of the cost right there. The new front doors will be about $6,500 with the hardware. And this is the style. I don't have full plans here, but these are the style that we're looking at there. You'll notice that those are French doors. So we'll be voting on changing the name of the church to L'Église Pierre Angulaire. We don't have to do that tonight. That'll be down in the future. So that'll be a large part of the overall expenditure. We have a railing that'll be installed as well to help those of us who need railings get up the steps. That's about $900. And then the other costs are going to be about $1,700. So we're coming in around $9,100. We put an even $10,000 in there to anticipate some fluctuation in materials and maybe some things that weren't fully anticipated. What we're looking to do, along with the front doors, there'll be an awning, a metal awning over the steps, help keep our ushers out of the weather and keep the steps a little bit drier and free of ice and things like that, hopefully. We'll do sheetrock on the block wall. So what's going to happen is where the block ends now, it's kind of that little enclosure, but that's still open to the elements. That's where the new doors are going to be, at the end of the current block wall. So we'll put sheetrock inside to cover the block, kind of like we did with the ladies' room downstairs and the men's room. There'll be vinyl flooring that'll be even across all the way out. New lighting. We're looking to install some coat racks. Essentially, a couple different reasons. The doors need to be upgraded. If you've ever tried to close the doors when both of them are open, you know that they're not fully functional. If you've ever pulled in the doors after they've been locked, you realize that anybody with a decent crowbar and a little bit of muscle would have easy ingress here. So definitely for security purposes and just a little bit of a facelift to the front of the building, the doors will go a long way for that. And also the awning, I think, is going to be really nice. It'll give us more room when people come between Sunday school and church, a little more space to hang out, to be out of the weather. Also, I'm excited about the coat racks because that'll free up more space over here in the auxiliary sanctuary. Those coat racks are a little worse for wear, so moving that eyesore out and giving less people space to throw junk will probably help us a lot in keeping the room looking nice. So that's what we're looking toward, and hopefully have that finished up. We're hoping to do some work prior to and on the first work day there on April 13th. I'm very thankful to Sheldon, who has put a lot of work in, and with the planning, materials, things like that. Also, Darren and Drew were heavily involved in getting that concrete laid. That was great. So we'll just go ahead and take a moment here. You have the basic. If there are any questions about the project that I can answer, Jim. Yeah. Interior doors will stay. I think there is a register out there. I don't know of plans to expand the ventilation. It's not intended to be, a room that we relax in. There's no jacuzzi. We're not putting a sauna in there. If anyone wants to speak to anything, that's definitely something we can talk about. But I think we're going to let, as far as I know, unless someone wants to correct me from the floor, I think we're going to let the current heating system carry the day. Again, it's more just get you out of the wind, give you a place to be while, you know, Pastor John David's finishing his prayer and things like that. So that's the goal with that space. I used to sit out in the vestibule and interpret services a long time ago, so I'm very familiar with that space out there. So, all right, any other questions? Thank you, Jim, for raising that. I appreciate it. All right, then if you would vote and then hold up your ballot for collection. Right. I'm happy to field any questions about my report. My report really isn't the kind of report that begs questions. I think I have more smiley faces in my report than in any of the other reports. So, if you like smiley faces, then you like my report. I just want to thank you as always for your hard work. A lot of you wear multiple hats in here with formal, positions and also just pitching in and helping out. I'm grateful for the way, a lot gets done, like I've said, that isn't planned, isn't covered by some kind of a committee, a lot of you caring for each other in ways that I don't have any hand in, and I'm thankful for the initiative that's shown and for the way that you care for each other especially, and then also for the property here. And I try to reflect that in my report. I talk about infrastructure because I feel like that's where I have some particular insight and responsibility, but then also remembering that the infrastructure provides the platform for ministry. And I try to focus on that too, the ways that we care for one another. And it was good for me to go back over the year and just look at the different ways that people were reaching out to one another, the things that God was doing in our midst, and the way he helps us just keep moving forward as we maintain a platform for the gospel. Quick financial check-in. We've had 4 offerings since the new budget started in January. What we need for our weekly total to make budget is $3,066.42. You can find that at the end of your annual report. And by my count, I went through the counter sheets for those first 4 Sundays here in January. You'll just note what the counters take and what shows up in the bulletin are sometimes different. Pastor John likes to pare it down to pure giving and take out any special designations. I include the designations because they usually go against actual expenditures. So when I'm thinking financially for the church, I include those. So if you ever see any differences, that's what's going on there. But our total for our average for those first 4 weeks is $3,062.78. So we're just about $3 or $4 below what our weekly total is. And as we know, that fluctuates a lot. I was amazed as always by what the total giving was over 2023. God has more than provided for our needs. I'm excited about that. And I feel like we're on good footing to go forward for the remainder of the year. You may have noted in my report, just to kind of be ready for some big ticket items. We came to you to ask for the parking lot repaving approval. That was a fairly substantial amount. We're looking for another $10,000, which I'll just take a peek here and see. All right. And that has been approved, so the vestibule remodeling will go forward. And there are probably going to be some others coming down the road before too long. We've been in this building over 2 decades. It's starting to show its wear. There are also improvements we'd like to make that will make the building more usable. And I like to think of it, too. I don't know what God has in store for us with another building somewhere down the road. I have no idea what he's going to do. Just keep an eye on things and trust in his sovereignty. But as I said before, anything we invest in making this a more livable space, a more usable space, if we ever look to resell, it's going to add to that value and make it a more attractive proposition for another congregation that might be interested. But some things that have kind of been floated, things I've been hearing or talking about with different people, probably going to need new carpet before too long. You notice we got a big stripe down the middle there, a little bit of a tear going on. So that's probably something we need to look at. We've considered whether it's time to move to all chairs versus the pews. That's just been something that's been floated. No decisions. We might be talking about that in the future. That would be something we need to deal with. There's been talk about maybe expanding the front platform here, actually bringing it all the way over to bring up the keyboard and the other area back here. The drop ceiling over there is showing its wear. We've mentioned maybe bringing that up to I don't know current aesthetic value. I've mentioned a sound upgrade that we need. We've started looking into that. And there's some more figures and planning that we need to pull together. But just be ready. I don't like sticker shock. We obviously have more needs than just physical, tangible ones here. We have more needs than just the building that we want to consider as we serve Christ with the resources he's given us. But we do need to take thought for the physical infrastructure. As you'll see by the treasurer's report and the financial secretaries, God has been gracious. We have means at our disposal. So I don't think with any of the projects that we're looking at in the future, we'd need to go into any kind of debt. These are things that should be able to be covered. But just keep it in mind. And as you see things and notice things or have questions, before we get to a vote, feel free to just talk to me and get my ideas. And I'd love to hear yours as we think about how to keep the infrastructure here functioning the way it needs to. Just a few other things. This is the key that belongs in the kitchen. This has a shed key and a key to access both the sound cabinet and the computer cabinet. We like if this would stay there. It tends to disappear. I know how things like that happen. You grab the shed key, you go out to the shed, you need your hands free to bring in a table or a table saw. You slip it in your pocket, and then it easily goes home with you. So we put a bigger ring on here. Thanks, Pastor John David. We're thinking about attaching this to a 50-pound block of granite. But for now, if you feel in your pocket, say, oh, what's that thing poking me? It's probably the key. So try to remember to get that back, and I am going to walk right out to the kitchen when I'm done and put it back so I don't take it home. As we move toward the workday in April, we'd love to have your participation with that. As you're seeing things around the building and the grounds that you think need to be addressed, please let me know. You're also welcome to pull in people like Sheldon or Jim and talk to them about stuff. They've been very instrumental in those areas, and they're not the only ones, but just get it out and so we can talk about it and plan for that as well. I know Bob's going to be coming out soon, sooner rather than later, with the groundskeeping schedule. I'm not trying to push him in any direction, but it's just going to happen. And with the water table the way it is, I think our grass will be about 10 feet tall by the time we need to do our first mowing. So that's a perennial need. Would love to have a few more people to jump in and round out those teams a little bit. So maybe think if you'd be able to donate a Saturday here or there to come over and help keep the lawn mowed. I think that's it from me. One last opportunity for questions. All right, Pastor John David.
Continue with the announcements. First, the youth ski trip. There's a lot of changes going on, both with the kids that are going as well as the ski resort. It's getting pretty tough. They're expecting everybody to have their own phone and everybody to be able to sign up and everybody to pay on their own, and it's a royal pain for us as a group. So, but I was ridden pretty hard this morning about get your people in there. We're going to drop you as a group. Okay. So, if you haven't, a whole pile of you signed up today, thank you so much. But, the rest of you, if you need help, I got a sheet here, which is the one I sent around. I need that, tonight, tomorrow, or tell me, once I get past 15, I think I can string it along a little longer than that. So I just need to get to 15. Okay, if you looked on the calendar in the annual report, you saw we're having a financial seminar on Saturday and Sunday, October 5th and 6th. They're seeking to do what Crown Financial or Dave Ramsey have been doing. Okay, they're offering services to Christians like Edward Jones kind of guys, but they're also looking to serve the church with helpful information. They have podcasts, emails, relevant things. As I've had to do a bunch of things with my mother-in-law, with my kids, part of their ministry is in helping pastors, and so they take on the pastor's finances. It's been a big help to me. But as you look in here, their purpose here is to encourage and strengthen God's people and your church financially, teach God's people to apply biblical priorities to their finances, encourage generosity in both life and death, bring financial and legal expertise to the local church. If you're on 422 heading east toward Pottstown, you'll see this little lighthouse kind of thing. there on the side, and it's called Life Institute. It's interesting. As I'm looking for internet radio, I have about four stations I listen to. I listen to one down in McAllen, Texas, okay? And I hear them in they're advertised down there in McAllen, Texas, okay? So they run around and do these seminars, and what they're going to preach on Sunday. They might preach for a Sunday in August to help you to see who they are. Okay, but then they're going to teach, and they're going to go through a bunch of seminars that are called Igniting the Heart, Cultivating Stewardship in the Next Generation, provides parents and grandparents with practical steps in helping the next generation understand and become better financial stewards, creating a spending plan that works, facing the future with confidence, practical financial, tax, and retirement planning, finishing strong, how proactive estate planning can impact your family and church, and then avoiding costly and dangerous mistakes in retirement. What else they're going to do, and what they wanted us to do it on a Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and I said, that's not going to work with our people. We said, all right, what we're going to do is we're going to can men's fellowship for that Saturday. We're going to combine it when we have a church lunch on the first Sunday in October. And so what we're going to do is we're going to be here probably from, I don't know, 9 to 3 on Saturday, and with lunch that we'll probably order that one in here because you're going to bring food on Sunday. We won't double dip there, okay? And then there's a bunch of other details we're going to let you know. But then they're going to take over Sunday school, and then Sunday morning we're going to eat lunch, and they're going to have a 90-minute session after that. Around that, they're going to give you the opportunity. They're going to send paperwork if you say, hey, yeah, I wouldn't mind somebody looking over this for free, giving me advice. So you can fill out that paperwork of, hey, here's my finances, here's my questions, here's what should I be doing? And they're willing to sit with you for, I don't know what they said, an hour, 90 minutes or so to go over your finances, okay? So it's like a free little session with you. You'll have to know ahead of time, all right? And then they'll put you in a slot somewhere or have you come up and meet them at their office at a different time, okay? So it's a neat opportunity. We'll be talking about it more. There's a lot of questions, a lot of things that we have to work on. We just want to let you know ahead of time so we can plan for that in October. And there will be no spring adult fellowship here because we got a busy spring and summer coming up here. We got two weddings coming up. How can you help with these weddings? How can you clear off your calendar, prepare, ask how you can you house friends or family or give meals, set up, clean up? Be looking for that here. And then my last thing here is I came in to clean the church, all right? And I had no idea about some things. So I want you to help me, all right? If I was going to clean the pews, what would I use downstairs?
Murphy's oil.
Murphy's oil, okay? And you're going to and what color is that?
Yellow.
Brown or yellow, okay. Well, I didn't see that. I saw murky white stuff, and I was going to put that on. And I was like, no, you shouldn't do that. So there's Murphy oil soap, and it's brown, all right, and it's in a couple spray bottles. Okay, so they're supposed to be downstairs, right?
Yes.
Okay, and so we'll find them there and put them back there. There's two or three.
Be careful when you mix according to the instructions if you have an empty bottle or almost empty bottle.
Okay.
You don't go straight.
Okay. Okay, so the little, all right, and so let Sandy know when we run out. Okay, if I were a garbage bag, where would I be? Under there. Okay, both of them are under there? Okay, well, look at this. Okay. And when you get done, what are you supposed to do with the rags?
Take them home and wash them.
If there are no rags down there, it's because you did what you did with the keys. You took them home. Okay, so wash them. It's a problem in our house because they get all mixed in, and then it just sits in the basket because nobody knows whose it are. It's like the churches. They go back. Okay, so make sure there's rags down there. Okay. That one vacuum cleaner in here, right? You got to get down on the floor and pull that little thing. It's broken, all right? So if it won't go back, don't jam it back. Get down. I'm glad to show anybody after, or you know the problem with it. Okay? Yeah.
Replacement vacuums are in the process of being purchased.
Okay. One of the things I hear, did you hear that replacement vacuum's on their way? Okay. One of the things I hear is, who checks the vacuum bags? And you go, oh, Well, they're about to blow sometimes, all right, because Ono didn't get the message, all right? So look at that. Just look at that. If you deal with it at home, if you don't, just go, oh, something's wrong with this thing, and tell somebody here, okay? Okay, so. My mom's big on wanting to get the hair out of the bottom. I didn't notice hair here. I know at my house, if you've seen the picture, I have a wig. Every time you vacuum, I can cut off a wig worth of hair that I put on top of my head. So, but that's my house, all right? So, okay, that would help, okay? Because we don't get to talk about this. Maybe we can have, you know, we're trying to avoid, in some churches, I've seen locks on the kitchen cabinets and, you know, these big, you know, rules like if you cross this, we hate you kind of stuff around the church. And we don't want to do that. On the other side, you got to ask, because I don't know about most of you, but most of you aren't like going, it's 4 weeks till I clean the church. It's 3 weeks till I clean the church. What do I do in preparation? You just slam into it, and you come in here and go, I don't know where this stuff is, especially if it's 11 o'clock at night, right? So find out. Find out ahead of time and work together, all right? And you know what? It's a bad week. You know, then just make it look nice in here, but we can't have everybody doing a short job, and then because other people have to do a deep clean. So maybe fine. Like, she likes the hair? Good. She can do the hair, all right? Other people are good with those door things there, all right, and cleaning that off, right? Find your little niche here. Michelle Doolin used to crawl up and do the tops of those cabinets, okay? So we can't do it all, but if you think there's something a mess in here, that's your time to do it, okay? I forgot on Sunday night, but that bucket back there is gross. Just let's get it out of here, right? It sits there forever with who knows what in there. So just pick through it, all right, and see if you can match it to the person in here, okay? Because if, all right, anyway, what? Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Feel free to ask.
Right.
And I will go look. It would be nice if everything ended up back where you took them off the shelves, but I know when you have kids helping and stuff, that doesn't always happen. So take a look around.
Yeah.
Maybe things are not where they're supposed to be.
Yeah.
And number two, I'm going to bring up church fellowship coming up on Sunday.
Yes.
It's a church fellowship.
So? Right. Yeah, or five. Yeah.
Bring somebody who you want to fellowship with.
Yeah.
Talk.
Yeah, that's that'll work. That'll work.
So,
thank you.
Otherwise it takes us like 2 hours to clean up.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you. Yes. So just do a little bit, all right? We're getting there. And there's a lot to be thankful for here, all right? Remember the very fact that we're cleaning the church together and all these other things that sometimes we grumble about because we're not realizing what a gift it is to have people own the responsibilities in here. So thank you for what you're doing. Let's just keep working on it, all right? Even though we're small in some ways, it's still easy to think somebody else will get to it. Well, it becomes a love thing, not even a job that you have to own. Just thinking, well, I don't want Sandy to do it for 2 hours, so if I give her 5 minutes, she'll do it for an hour and 55, right? You know, you look at it like that, you know, but it's not just Sandy then, it's just whoever. If not me, then who? And how can I share that with them? And then, like she said, you feel so guilty leaving them in the middle. It's like, well, you gave 10 minutes. Thank you. Thank you. Do your 10 minutes and then walk out, all right? Or whatever. The same on these fellowship nights on Sunday night, too. There's a balance between rushing people and you got to get home, you're tired and all that stuff. And, hey, let me just do a little bit of cleanup. With that, we've been doing a bunch of community outreach kind of things. We've used this building for the Hawk Valley homeowners thing. We used it once. We're about to do that again on February 13th, okay? We did the Teach Homeschool group. They filled this side over here, and they were in here. I was running around like crazy because that's where we had salt and junk all over the floor, so it was a lot of vacuuming, a lot of Sunday blessings all over the pews and stuff. It's fine, think of that when you go out Sunday night or whatever with that, as we want to put our best foot forward. I swept the front there and wanted people to, that's the only time in our building here, but some neat opportunities for outreach here. So, As you went through this, hey, I was happy. There's like one or two copies over there of this. At least you took them home, or you left them in your car. You did. You got them out of here. That's neat. And I think some of you read it. You've been talking about it. Those of you that read any of these, give me, before we get anywhere deep, what were your general thoughts? I don't want a specific thought. But what were your general thoughts as you read? Do you have any general thoughts? This is general. Doesn't mean big and enlightened, all right? Mom? Are there two of these? What? Okay. Okay. She said that great job, but she said she felt goals in all them. I'm going to talk about that in a minute. What were you thinking as you read them? Just general things. It doesn't all have to be positive comments. I don't care. But, you know, just as you were reading, what were you thinking? Yeah, Sandy.
Well, a lot of it was reviewing what the past year was, but it's also looking forward and how the church needs to continue learning and how we need to own each other.
Okay. So she felt, and you could hear it after a while. You could ask, what was the most commented thing in here? Was it Kathy Berkey dying? All right, you know, that certain things came up over and over, and they should, okay? But she said, I'm also hearing in there, how do we live now? How do we move forward? Cindy, what were you thinking?
Seeing not only what happened, but seeing it in light of God's perspective and purposes moving forward, and his good character and sovereignty and provision.
Okay, and I was going to start with that. I'll get a couple more general here, but that's exactly where Pastor John started when he called it historical. He said the Old Testament is a record of the goodness of God and his provision for his people. Through Abraham, he had called out a people to worship him and serve him. They were to be a light to the entire world. They failed in being that light. And he goes on and explains what happens to that people. But the next paragraph, he says, as in times before and after, God continued to reach out with encouragement for those who would listen, both then and now. Okay? So as you're looking here, it's important for us to recognize not only what has happened inside of Cornerstone in 2023, but we are a people that that have a history. And it's important for us to go back and to be able, as we're going to look for encouragement, to see how God acted inside of other periods of history, specifically in what he's given us as the inspired word of God. Because we're only going to be encouraged here in the right direction to the extent that we trust God's word, his provision, and his goodness. But anyway, any other general thoughts as you were reading? Yeah, up here, Tim's got one.
Life happens in chunks. We come into church. I got to teach Sunday school. I got to get the soundboard going. I'm singing in choir today, and it just happens in these pieces. Or I had this conversation with someone. It's good, I think, in these reports that we see. There's a purpose, you know, moving forward. Thinking of Jody with the Sunday school report,
yep.
And this idea of, you know, communicating these truths to the next generation, all those verses from Deuteronomy, this idea of, like, we're part of a heritage that was established in Old Testament times of communicating the works of God to the next generation. And I don't think it's a purpose that's imposed. I think it's a purpose that's always there. But it takes these times of reflection to see it. Otherwise, it just happens in little tiny pieces of, oh, I need to do this. And it's neat to see that it's going somewhere. So,
yeah, definitely felt that. Yes. Anybody else? Yeah, Darla. There you go.
It's just a piece of the I was just really impressed by, especially your comments and maybe others, of given so many years, like two decades, to see a next generation grow up and going forward, and in some cases going out, and possibly coming, you know, praying some go back and some go forward other places. But that was really a trend that I thought was amazing, to think of that number of years and raising up the next generation.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. It helps me as I go back and look at these. I think Sandy said a couple years ago she stumbled over them, right? Do you remember that? I thought she said she went back and looked at a few of them. And it was interesting to see some things that are the same, some things that are progression. And that's what's happening inside of here. Some things are going to look the same, and they should be the same because we've been given a mission that's the same for every group of believers. Other things, like you said, happens in chunks. You're just living it here. You got to think, what am I doing all this for? So there was background for all these things here. So Pastor John continued with that as he talked about the not only God's provision and his goodness and his care for people, but what happens when his people didn't obey. Wars and dissension. Dissension on who should even be listened to. Well, doesn't that sound familiar with where we are today? We're in a time of war and then dissension of whose voice is the most important. And that was the background for what he entitled hysteria. We talk about an eye roll at the presidential candidates, but we still have firm feelings. Some of you don't have an eye roll. You go, why are you rolling your eyes? This is where we should go, okay? But it talks of war is going on, yes, Israel and Ukraine and all that, but there's much more talk of war going on. The economy is squeezing us, gender mess, education problems. Where is God's voice? And Pastor John said it's often muffled in the church because of a focus on entertainment. And when most of us say, oh, we're not here to be entertained, but every time you think, I don't know, I'm not getting it. I don't know, it's not a good experience. That you're talking in the language of entertainment, okay? That church often, God's word is often muffled because of a focus on entertainment, enjoy the experience, and a focus on emotional healing and restoration rather than that being a byproduct of reverence that should come from being confronted with the God who created us. A reverence that allows God to determine reality, relevance, and priorities. So Pastor John mentioned things like what should be our priorities? The standing of our relationship with him now and for eternity. What is your standing? I've been telling the youth group for a long time, it isn't whether you think you're saved, it's whether he knows your name. That's very important. And it's not to freak you out. It's just you go, I don't know, I'm saved, so be quiet, stop judging me. It's like, no, now is the time for us to make sure that we understand the gospel. And that's what we're going to move to as we talk about mine. Because the gospel not only brings you into right relationship with God, it changes your priorities. So his second thing was not standing in relationship with God now and for eternity, but then second, your appropriate focus for living. He said sanctification. That's what you're here for, to be conformed to the image of Christ, and it's formed in us together with as we fellowship. There needs to be corporate and individual discipleship, evangelism, spreading the glory of God, instead of merely a message of healing, restoration, love, acceptance, and fulfillment. Spreading the glory of God. So then he came down to, well, what does that look like here? Where does that find us here at Cornerstone? We need to be like the men of Issachar. 1 Chronicles 12:32. If you read that verse, it'll probably be the only verse you ever know in 1 Chronicles. Okay? Men of Issachar were men who understood the times with the knowledge of what Israel should do. And he says, yes, we need to be aware of our world, our culture, and have an understanding of church history and see where Christianity has been as well as where it is now. We need to know our Bible better in order to evaluate both the church, our world, our culture, and where we need to be as Christians in our walk and service for God. We need a better dependence on God that we might be used more effectively as individuals and as his united army of Christian soldiers at Cornerstone. We're to be his lights here where he has planted us together. We need to have a greater burden to care for the souls here and those out beyond. So he's saying, look at God, look at his word. Well, does this basic thrust fit within God's character? You say, well, I think most of you would say, well, I didn't hear anything in there that really raised flags of not being good. Well, then, what would a healthy response look like? For time's sake, I'm not going to let that one run around here. But you need to think, if he's calling for this, this is where we, in light of history and in view of what's going on in our culture, here's where we need to focus. Then what would an appropriate, healthy response include for, like what Sandy said? How do we live now? individually and together. What would that look like in light of what Pastor John was focusing on? Read the rest of his report through this lens, and you'll see God working already in here and opportunities for you to take ownership. So he said, you know, instead of wondering whether all the kids should be in college or not, they're there. What is your role in their spiritual stability and current and future growth and service? Down to a text them, email them, call them, letter, listen, ask questions, encourage them toward the priorities of the gospel, relationship with God and living in and for his service. Like Sandy said with the dishes, while you're sitting there thinking about what the amazing thing is to do with each of them, you end up doing nothing. Just do something. Just do something. Start with praying for them. Okay? And you go, well, why are we praying for them and not for us? Good. Pray for us too. I don't care. Come on. That's what he's saying. Look for those kind of opportunities here. And the reason I did this is because I want you to realize what we're saying here. You don't need me to just go on and on. You have resources here that have been very helpful. Sit in them. Think. You're going to feel something pulsing, and you got to then analyze what's pulsing. This is what we've been talking about in our other congregational meetings. Remember, the why and the what leads to the how. The why, okay? And this is the why and the what underneath. See, as you look at that in Tim's. Now, Tim said that there was just, you know, brief stuff in there, a lot of nuts and bolts. But he started with a paragraph about from Psalm 34, okay? He starts with a posture of worshipful exaltation, calling others to that posture. Of all the verses he could have chose, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. Worshipful exaltation, and then calling others to worshipful exaltation. What would that look like? Do I live in worshipful exaltation? And if somebody else is not, what do? Do you look at their frown? Do you look at them whether they're tired or not? Do you look whether they look happy or not? What would it be to help others to join in worshipful exaltation? What keeps us from that posture? What keeps them from that posture? How are they the same as you? How are they different than you? So a key statement there in the beginning for Tim was, he said, it is my unique privilege to serve under the elders in an effort to help the congregation at Cornerstone maintain the physical and ministerial infrastructure that supports the existence of a community of praise givers. The existence of a community of praise givers. I said, to my shame, it's rare that I think in those terms. But that's what you all said when you talked about the general impact of these reports. Good job. But that's why times like these are helpful, to look back over a year in the life of our particular called-out community and reflect. And he says, as I've observed before, much of the infrastructure work is tangible and mundane. We're talking about hair and the vacuum cleaners, all right? It's tangible and mundane and savors heavily of the kind of activity that one might find in a small business or other similar enterprise. Where it differs, however, is in the purpose for which it is undertaken. Not to provide goods and services in the appropriate pursuit of reasonable profit, or to achieve a charitable, even noble, though secular, end, but to provide a context in which the people of God can live, worship, serve, and grow together to the glory of their Redeemer. When you listen to that inspiring God talk, what does or should that perspective do for all the business and or the activity in here needed to keep this thing going? Well, the ushers shoveling the snow, putting the chairs away, cleaning up afterward, not formal positions, informal as well, doing those dishes. You don't have to sign up to do it, okay? What should the perspective that Tim presented there, what should that perspective do for the business end of what goes on in here for the mundane things, all right? Like changing the toilet paper rolls in here, picking up the hymn books, taking your lost and found stuff home. What should it do for that? What do you think? Anything cross your mind there? Yeah, Pastor, mic behind you.
Lift the mundane to a higher perspective.
Lift the mundane. Lift the mundane to a higher perspective, okay? We need somebody that's willing to kill the weeds in the parking lot. And finally, we're going to pave part of it. There'll be other stuff around there. But that far one out there, you can see it. The rocks need moving and stuff. You go, well, I don't know. I guess we'll have to do that at work day or something. But all of a sudden, you start realizing, no, I don't want this to look like that. This is we're representing God here. Let's get it done. I'll do it. All right? Not who does it in here. I'll do it. It lifts the mundane. What are you thinking, Cindy?
Along with that, I was thinking it would give it some transcendence, but also motivation, not only to do it, the importance of it, but also maybe to do it well or do it by God's grace or knowing that he's behind it.
Did you hear that? It not only lifts it, like he said, elevates it, but help gives you motivation to do it well and also provision instead of, you know, if you have a grumpy attitude, where should you deal with that? I can't make that go away. They can't make that go away. You got to look, cry out to God and say, Lord, give me a bigger perspective, all right? Whether these people do it or not, I want to do it, all right? It needs to be done for Christ's sake, all right? So you get grace from God to be able to do it when you elevate it in here. You'll do it. You'll notice it. You'll want it for his glory. It elevates it, and you'll get provision from God to do it. Anything else you thinking? Yeah, Mom?
Glory of God.
All the glory
but
of God or
also,
part of them? Yeah.
If I was the only person here, mm-hmm. you know, what would I do? I mean, that each person is so important, but if I was the only one.
Right. So, right? If Christ is the head of the church and Christ and then you, Christ, and you are serving Christ. So, we say, I'll do that. I will do, may I do that, Christ? How could I do this more like you? All right, you respond to his headship, and then there's two responding to his headship. Okay, I'll do that. Well, no, you could do this. All right, you do this better than me. Well, then I'll go do this. Is that okay, Christ? He goes, no, I'd rather you do the part you're not good at this time, and them do the part they're not good at, right? See, we're willing, but responding to Christ. Now there's three of us in here, okay? Sometimes the thing is not just getting them to do the work. You go, well, nobody's doing the work in here. But wait, we want to elevate it so that we are a group of, what do you call us? Praise givers. That's what you need. You don't need a vacuum pusher. You need a praise giver. Praise giver will be a vacuum pusher. Okay? So that's where you got to look around. Yeah, Crystal, what are you thinking?
The impact that those little mundane things, like, mm-hmm. yes, when they're not done, people notice or see them. But when they are done and everything just runs smoothly, mm-hmm. you know, it's just like, oh, okay, we're just going, we're just doing. And it just that impact that if they're done, then things can move along smoothly. If they're not, then it's not smooth.
Right. We're small in some ways, but there's more of you owning things. And people notice that when they come in. They notice that things are getting done, that there's not a lot of begging and pleading, meaning we can always do better because I'm looking at Christ on the other side, that then things run smoothly in here. Yeah, we are pulling out those 10 kids. Most of them did a bunch in here, okay? And so we miss that. But then you realize instead of going, things are, you know, things are missing or it seems slow. Yeah, we work to train them. And like Darla said, hopefully some of them will come back here, okay? Or else they'll go out there and serve faithfully out there. Well, then we pick up the slack and start again. Who are you training with that? Because then it runs smoothly in here, okay? We're adding a lot of tech in here, and you've seen a lot of weird things going on. We're adding more and more with sometimes less people to do it. And you go, well, then why are we adding more? Well, there's a lot. This is the philosophy, the think tank of how we're handling these different things that are coming up with our culture. But when you elevate it to the service of the king, you say, I see things from him that he is praiseworthy. I willingly give my life in service to him. All of a sudden you say, I'm not good at this, but can I help? Can I be a part of this? Okay, was there anybody else? Yeah, Jody.
I think it also is a part of our identity, that the church is different, and this is where we belong. It's not, you know, out in the world is not where we belong. And so when we come in here and we do things for the glory of God, also there's a purpose to what we're doing, which I think is so wonderful about being a Christian, that everything in our lives has a purpose.
Yeah.
So we're doing things with a purpose, and we belong here. And so it takes on a whole different meaning because of that. Out in the world is a strange place for us.
Yes, it should be. So anytime you see, you know, go Penn State or any other camaraderie, like this is my high school, all right, and you see them go rah, 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 okay, you think, no, we are a people, a peculiar people, Peter says, right, that we're different, okay, but that means we get around here and we lift up Christ. That's why we just sang that, right? All my boast is in Jesus, all right? And then we just sang, Christ is all, okay? That's what we do. But that lives. That lives. It's not just what we say. We don't just lift up our team and cheer, but we have reason to cheer. We have a mission that's behind, all right? Anybody else? So you come to Jody's there, and there's much you can read. I'm not reading through all these, but she's very encouraging as you read her. She does well to see the good side of everything that's going on. But underneath that encouragement, you could hear, where was she heading? Tim brought that up. She said, raising children to be God-fearing, zealous for his kingdom, servants of the Most High God. She was saying that as dealing with the Sunday school, right? So that's where she's focusing on the children, right? To be God-fearing, zealous for his kingdom, servants of the Most High God. There are so many assumptions inside of that statement. Most High God. What is the holiness of God mean to you? You know, elevate that. Read your Bible, then go read R.C. Sproul, The Holiness of God, and think, was that what I was thinking when I thought, I'm doing this for the Most High God? Okay? But then what is zealous for his kingdom look like? What does it mean to be servants? What does it mean to be God-fearing? But as you unpack that, you realize this isn't just for the children in the church. This is for each of us. Are you what she said our goal is for our kids? Are you God-fearing, zealous for his kingdom, servants of the Most High God? How are you growing toward this end? These are not just problems presented in here as we talk about the culture and things that are going on. Pastor talked about it. Jody did. I can't remember if Tim specifically talked about what was wrong with the culture. I did, okay? But it's not just problems. There's a process. There's provision in here with tools. Tim did talk about that, as the rest of us did. Did you think about the provision God has for us to move forward inside of this season in your life, inside of right here in the United States? Are you heading in the direction of these reports? Read her Women's Fellowship report. You'll hear her say signs of growth appearing through the years. And you know what that means? You talk about two decades. You have to look long and hard to see what has shifted. Remember, I've told you the men over and over, the men used to be out of here faster than a Catholic mass after men's fellowship. Okay? Now when they stand around here and sit and talk for a little bit, I don't care whether it's all deep or not, but more and more are talking about what we talked about, and they're realizing I'm talking to a person. We're not just exchanging ideas. Who is this person? All right? They're actually reading the chapter. They didn't used to read the chapter at all. All right? And they're not resenting being here all the time. Right? We're all at different places, so there's other things going on, but there's been a shift, a slow shift. Well, Jody said you've seen that with the women. All right? Do you look for these signs of encouragement and growth? Your why and what determine the how. Methods, what you fill your time with. And with that as a background, I too was thinking happenings through the lens of something. You can't just look at the happenings. What are these happenings here for? And so I talked about proclamation. There were so many passages that we could use, and I looked at these two. We proclaim him, admonishing every man, teaching every man with all wisdom, so we may present every man complete in Christ. I don't have a lot of time, but just give me what you got in here. Goals, values, focus inside of this passage. Just call it out. Look inside of there. What do you find? What's valuable in there? Where's the focus in here? All right, so God's word, all right, with all wisdom. I guess she's implying that. Stay inside the verse. Well, you'll get God's word on the next one. Him, Christ, all right? Christ is a focus, all right? You wrote that, okay? What are you, anything else? Go, Sandy. Okay, there's a goal. This thing of, well, I don't know, I'm a Christian, you're a Christian. No. Completion in Christ. What does that look like? The kids have been working in youth group in Ephesians 4. Grow up in all aspects to him who is the head, even Christ. So there's a goal of completion in Christ, Sarah. Completion in Christ, Nicole.
Yes, there's teaching, but there's also the aspect of, like, there's a cautionary tale here, too.
Okay. So, warning, because serious consequences. Consequences for wrong, you know, all right, focus, value, goals. FVG, of course. Okay? Warning, because serious consequences for wrong focus, value, and goals. Jim?
First three words, we proclaim him
right
to the lost, making disciples, and it's a process of growth.
Okay.
The rest of the world.
So therefore, there's a process. Just write process, Sarah. Okay? A process of growth. All right? Yeah, Pastor?
Joe? Amen. No one left behind.
Okay. Each is included. See, that's my concern. When you say, John David, it seems like you're reaching for too much. You keep circling around. It's like, I don't care if you're getting it. I care that we're getting it. If you're getting it, you're not getting what the head wants until you're helping everybody else in here get it. And so if you go, why are you repeating? Because you're not helping them get it. Then we all, with one voice, will glorify God. Romans 15. So each is included. Jody? All right, this is definitely intentional. Do you come in here with a pulse, all right, that you're just saying, I'm going to continue toward this goal? Or, you know, as Darla said, a couple decades here, right? We're having our 25th birthday as a church here in 2 months, all right? 25 years, all right? That if usually what happens is as churches cycle, people get tired out of doing the same things, tired out. And, you know, they give all this stuff of we need to let somebody else have a chance, all this other stuff. It's like, no. The mission is still there. Regardless of the role you play in it, it's the same mission, and we're to be carrying that out. Here. All right, go to the next one, Sarah. Let it go. All right, here. That one. What do you see in here? I don't have time to do this justice, all right? But just look in here. Look for goals, value, focus. You can do it more on your own. What do you see in here? More knowledge of God. Now we can have mom's thing of the place of God's word. Of it's like everything you else said in the other one, that it's a process. There's a goal of it, all right? That through the true knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and excellence, all right? Grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. You go, I need more grace. Good. Grow in the knowledge of God, all right? I need more peace. Grow in the knowledge of God, all right? That's there. What do you see?
Earlier, we could say we're saved, but is my name written down in heaven?
Okay. All right. Him who called us. Okay. All right. That we talk about goals, value, focus. All right. Chosen of God. Chosen of God. That's very important in here. You go, choose me. And on what basis has he chosen me? So you need your name written. But in here, these you can know that you can be chosen of God. Sandy? Green. Go. Blue.
Here we go.
Go.
That, sorry. that there is escape from the corruption that is
there
in this world.
There you
through his precious and magnificent promises and the hope that he has laid before us.
All right.
We don't have to wallow in this world.
Okay, there you go. All right? So whatever's wrong in this world, but back to what Jody said, you come in here, there should be hope. It's like this is a not only a haven, but a place where life can happen. Things can flourish, right? Again, I told you I'm so discouraged that all my dreams didn't happen with all my kids and all that. I finally, remember, I'm saying we're never going to read all these books in my house. Remember? Now I'm starting to just pick one off the shelf. So I said, we're never going to read any of these books, but we'll read a chapter of this. So I'm reading The Lost Princess by George MacDonald. It was one of the ones that C.S. Lewis, like that was MacDonald at his best, okay? And it was just talking about this bratty little princess that was born, and then this other little shepherd girl that was born, right? And how did they get their worth? that the princess had to be taken apart. And this wise woman, how does she take her apart? Okay, as she takes her to this house where there was life in there, but there were also lessons to be learned and to get the brattiness out of that kid, for her to be able to get her identity in the right way. So there's an escape from corruption through Christ. Anything else? For times, say it.
All-encompassing.
All right, it's all, okay. Okay, it's all right. It's all-encompassing. Good luck with that, Sarah. Okay, it's all-encompassing. All right, what that means? All right, because here's where I'm going to go with this. All right, I'm reading in my report. These passages present a treasured focus in God. Let it go, Sarah. All right, there we go. These passages present a treasured focus in God and in Jesus Christ, and they present a purpose in proclaiming Christ as the means to a restored relationship with God and provision for everything needed to keep that focus and complete that task. Provision for everything needed to keep that focus of proclaiming Christ as the means to a restored relationship with God and to complete that task. These passages give me hope and purpose individually, as well as the parameters for my part in helping shepherd as an elder at Cornerstone. A couple sentences later in the report, what is presented in these two passages is a lifelong task, difficult but worthwhile, as it helps Christians do what we were saved to do, live pleasing to God. While the verses are in English, there's plenty we can get from them just reading them. We must meditate on them inside their context. Failure to do this, now listen, because here's my main theme, leads us to desire to proclaim Christ, but we end up proclaiming something or someone else. And we send a mixed message to the world about the treasures of the gospel. Failure to understand his word and his goals, his focus, his purposes inside of their context leads us to perhaps to desire to proclaim Christ, but we end up proclaiming something or someone else, sending a mixed message to the world about the treasure of the gospel. Is this your desire to head in the direction of these passages? How are you doing? Are you growing toward these goals, these values, these focuses? How could you give me evidence of growth in your life toward this end? One of the first things, I'm reading from my report, one of the first things I've come to realize when we talk about a focus and a mission and source of provision is that if you're going to move in any direction, we must consider the alternatives or distraction to that direction. We proclaim him, Christ. We proclaim him. If we're going to talk about whether we're proclaiming him, we got to think, what are the alternatives to proclaiming Christ and what are the distractions from proclaiming Christ? There are many voices clamoring for our attention and submission. There are many desires and needs seeking fulfillment. There are many places to look for provision. What do you want to proclaim when it comes to focus, mission, and provision? What are you proclaiming? What do you want to proclaim about our focus, goals, and provision? And what are you proclaiming? And I went further and said about contentment, satisfaction. What does your life proclaim? So this is a tough one here. This gets a little abstract. But how would you find out? How would you find out the difference between what you want to proclaim versus what you are proclaiming in these areas? How would you find that out? What pieces come to your mind? Don't solve the puzzle. Put pieces on the table. How would you find out what's the difference between what you want to proclaim and what you're actually proclaiming? You're all proclaiming something. I'm proclaiming something. I'll talk about that in a minute, okay? How would you find out? What do you think? Yeah, Jody, here. Anybody else over here? Okay, go.
Maybe what my conversations center around, maybe what people want to talk to me about, and what I seem to talk to other people about.
You hear that? All right. What my conversations center around? Center? Did you hear? What other people want to talk to me about? Want to talk to me about? I can't remember her last one. Okay? Anything else? But Jim, go.
Maybe showing a contentment and satisfaction in spite of our circumstances.
All right. You know, what does it take to rattle you? You know, that I did that with the youth group for every week for almost the whole year. I showed them a new Energizer Bunny commercial, right? It just keeps going and going and going and going. I showed them a different one, right? So he's saying, if contentment, you're like, oh, there they are. They just keep going and going and going. And he's like, well, they're okay. Everybody else is going, blah, and they just keep going and going. Okay? So so how would you expose the difference between what you want to proclaim, what you are proclaiming? Well, he says, watch. Here, the negative side is what unsettles you. Unsettles you. Keeps you. Keeps you from continuing. From continuing. Okay? Right, go ahead. What else you got? Go, Crystal.
I think definitely for the what you want to proclaim.
Yes.
I think we'd have to actually think about that.
Thank you.
We are proclaiming things, but what I want to proclaim, right. I would have to think and decide and make a decision and be like, okay, this is what I believe. So this is what I want to say, and I don't think a lot of times that's thought about.
you know what? That often those things, all those march on Washington, right? It isn't just going there against abortion. There's a million marches that go on down there, right? And why are the people there? Well, sometimes they just want a cause. You know, they got all these other things going on. They're scattered all over. They go, but I believe in this. I believe it. What do you believe in? What are you going to speak up about? You go, well, I'm shy. Okay, fine. You're shy. But you're still proclaiming something, okay? You're loud. What is coming out? You're going to have to carefully articulate. What do you want to come out of your life? What do you want to bleed out of? Whatever your personality is, what do you want to bleed out, okay? What else? Yeah, go. And then here.
What comes out of other people, what they think of you or, you know, for good or bad, that's for us to examine, and are they right or are they wrong according to God's word?
Well, I'm laughing because I'm thinking, what do you want said at your funeral? What do you want said at your funeral? I'm laughing because it's like, is anything honest said at a funeral? Right? And some people appreciate when I've said some tough stuff at funerals. Other people say, why did you bring that up? It's like, because I'm sick. I'm sick of the jadedness that comes where you're like, well, we're always saying something nice. Or you go, you should always say something nice. It's like, is there anything real here? We're losing real. What's valuable? What would you want others to say that your life was speaking? You know, they did the dishes, they vacuumed, they slept, they liked sports, they didn't. But this was their main, this is what was always on their mind. This is what they were talking about. This is what other people were talking to them about. Okay? Jonathan, go.
Yeah, I have an answer, but also with the question, do you mean what you should want to proclaim or versus?
Right now. No, right now I'm just asking, what do you want? What do you want? Now, you can answer if what you should want, but that's why I want to separate this.
So you're saying that we might be proclaiming something we don't want to proclaim.
That's right. That's right.
Against our will, or like. Okay.
Perhaps.
Okay.
Yes. Perhaps, because you are, remember every time I tell you this, whatever goes through your mind, when I go, you are brought up in some conversation that I have with somebody, you come up. Immediately you got to think, what? What comes up? Is it good or bad? Is it true or not? You know, like that's what mom said, you know, whether it's right or not, whether they got you right or wrong, sometimes people get you wrong. On the other side, you very much want to control that. Well, what is that? What is that? What do you wish they would say about you? You say, oh, yeah, everybody says this about me, right? What do you want them to say, all right? That it's not just annoying, like he's loud, he's obnoxious, he's this. No, what else? What are you proclaiming? What do you think of Jonathan?
All right, well, I'm not sure I'm going to hit the nail on its head. But
no,
looking at those few verses in 2 Peter, the biggest thing coming out at me is that, or yeah, 2 Peter is that, it's like in Romans, it's telling us about ourselves or about God and what happens to us. It's telling us, well, we've escaped corruption into godliness by the goodness and glory of him who called us. Okay. And then that's telling us about God and our relationship to him. And then in Colossians, he is the one we proclaim. And we can do that based off of what we just saw in 2 Peter, where it's telling us about ourselves, about him, and the relationship. And so, I mean, it. One of the ways we find that difference is just by knowing him more and about that relationship and what, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what we're proclaiming.
Okay, that's what we should proclaim, okay? How would you find out? And he's right. I'm saying, guys, I don't think any of us would negate those words in these verses. You go, yeah, go, yay, Christ, all right? But our lives are screaming something different. In small ways. I didn't say you're all not Christians. I didn't say you all don't have some good things going on in life. I say there's different messages coming out from each one of us, okay? That's what, Cindy.
When kind of what you were saying with keeps you from continuing.
Yeah.
When you get grumpy or discouraged or just think, you know, how overwhelmed, or when you're not Christ-like, then that would be a time to examine, what are my expectations, or what was I hoping for, or what did I want to continue, or if only this happens, you know, what am I hoping for the outcome, and compare that with the gospel and what Christ provides.
Okay.
And that would help expose.
Okay. So your emotions show something about your expectations, your hopes, your treasures, okay? She says that's an opportunity to compare with the same, okay? Expectations, hopes, and treasures from the gospel. From the gospel, okay? I guess what we're looking for is, don't waste these times of funk inside your life. They are revealing. They're telling. You know, you go, well, I'm a failure. I'm not going to proclaim anything right. You go, no. Study this. What is your funk showing about what you really value? You go, I know I should treasure Christ, but he's not enough. And you say, okay, whoa. Who is saying Christ is enough? Pastor John said in that Peter passage, it says it's all encompassing. It covers everything. So you got to go, well, I'm not living like I believe that right now. So what's between me and proclaiming that Christ is all? But first, like Crystal said, you have to be able to figure out what you're really proclaiming. You have to. Don't tell me what you wish you were proclaiming. Tell me what you are proclaiming. Tell me what you're coming out of you. Gospel means good news. What is good news to you? Good news, you got a bunch of money. Good news is your body's better. Good news is, you go, yeah, that is good news. Yes, but we're talking about something that's over all of that. Okay? That back to what Cindy said is transcendent. Go, Nicole. What are you thinking?
If it's all encompassing, everything matters. The how do I figure out what I'm proclaiming? Words matter, actions matter, every choice. Whatever you're choosing to do in that downtime where it's like I'm just chilling, it doesn't matter. It matters. Everything matters.
So next week we get back to Habakkuk. I was looking for a Puritan quote on something. I couldn't find the one I was looking for. I'm going to throw up a bunch of quotes that I was just like, these are neat. One of them said, your life lived is your pastor's sermon in action. Your life lived, or something like that. You'll see it next week as we get up there. What it's saying is, if the pastor's anywhere in the ballpark of what the word is saying, his words are the values that are going at. They are the lights that are guiding you. They are changing. They are the things that matter in everything you're doing. It's what you're thinking about, right? The simple hymn story, that I need thee every hour that the choir sang a few weeks ago. It was interesting that, you know, in 1492 when it was written, you know, 1800 something, that it was some a normal girl walking around the house doing her chores, and she said, I was just overcome with the thought that that my master would call me to be able to serve him, for the privilege of serving him. She was just doing household stuff. And she said, it just swept over me that I need everything that comes from him to be able to do what he's called me to do. And the cry of my heart is to be able to please him, and he will help me please him. I need thee. Oh, I need thee. Every hour I need thee. And it swept around. She said, I didn't get why it was so famous until, well, you know, some tragedy. Her husband died, her kid died, something like that. And all of a sudden she goes, yeah, I need him. I need him. I need him all the time. Right? So it's all encompassing, this thing. That's what we're saying. Christ has to bleed out. And when there's nothing, when it's just words, that's not what's bleeding out of you. Something else is bleeding out of you. Was there somebody else? And then I'll move. Okay. You must identify, let it go. You must specifically identify what you want to proclaim and what you are proclaiming. You said that. Perhaps jot down your initial thoughts, and that's my goal with this. I wish you would just jot down, what do I wish I would proclaim? But then also think about what others hear from you. See, here, let me hang myself. I want to proclaim the sufficiency of Christ, and that living to please God is a privilege with all my provision coming from him. That's what I want. As I go through this transitional stage with death, with the family dynamic changing, upheaval mentioned in the first section of my report in society, I think things going on in the Christian world, I think it's easy for me to really proclaim that it's too much and that I need to see success in ways that either I value or you value. But I have to think about that, because that's also going with in Colossians 2. Paul said, I want you to know how great a struggle I have on your behalf so that you would be knit together in love. And I also wonder, there's something healthy about maybe I'm just not realizing this is faithful living for Christ. That struggle is part of my job. I've got to wrestle with that. You got to specifically identify it. If you would proclaim Christ as a sufficient gospel, you must take these findings before and under God. You sit, pray. Prayer doesn't just mean he's going to reveal it to you. Prayer means there's something that has to come from him. You don't know how his spirit works. Stop trying to figure it all out and realize when I come before him, I'm saying, apart from the work of the Spirit in my life, I'm going to be well-meaning but misguided. I'm going to be doing maybe the right thing with no life from God, okay, let alone the wrong things, all right? Study the scripture. Don't merely study your experience and everybody else's. Study it. For what God specifically calls for with mission, provision, contentment, and satisfaction. Look for those things. Who is content inside of Scripture? Who is when they're busy, what are they busy about? Where does their provision come from? What does it look like? And you must do this in the course of everyday life. Life won't stop for you to figure this all out. I know you're tired. Some of you have had very little sleep, all right? Some of you got up way early this morning. I get it when some of you want to walk out of here and you think, I think it's too hot in here. You probably don't. But I get it. I don't know where it'll fit, people. I don't know where these kind of discussions fit. They're never going to fit. So as you move from one thing to the next in your life, you recognize God gave us all the same 24 hours. We need to sleep. We need to eat. We need to work. You were made to work. All the time, not just when you're retired. You're made to work. What is your work? And all are put in this together in a different way. We have different personalities, different backgrounds, different seasons of life. But even when there's crises or life-changing situations, like a new baby, a home, new home, a new job, each one in here handles those things differently. Our values will come to the surface. How and where and when do we proclaim our values? Well, you answered that. You said our emotions will show some of that. Well, you need to think. For time's sake, I'm going to move on because I got a bunch more here. Okay? But think. How do our values come to the surface? Different personalities. I'm loud, so you'll hear my values, right? But you're maybe not loud. How do your values come to the surface? You heard Jody say, what do other people talk to you about all the time? Now, when you're thinking about we proclaim Christ, can you think of what distracts and complicates from us proclaiming Christ? Here you go. Let's run the mics around. Can you think of what distracts? Can you think of other focuses, perhaps necessary and valuable, but that can take away from the focus, the mission, and provision found in these passages and in Scripture as a whole? Can you think? Say the obvious. Throw it out. What distracts and complicates this stuff so that we're all not on the same page or the same mission? Go ahead. Sandy.
Fear of being thought of being different or...
yeah.
Not fitting into the world.
Yes. Yes. It's not so much that we all want to sin. I don't think we're all thinking. Sometimes we're thinking, I wish I could be a little naughty. But sometimes it's thinking, you know what? When you don't fit in, you know what that's saying? That somebody said it before. It means it doesn't mean much to you to be identified with Christ. Okay? It doesn't mean much. And I don't mean that in a put-down way. I mean, if that was enough, then you just go, I don't have to fit. I fit with him. Right? He gave me love. He gave me a job. He gave me free. I don't want to work for anybody else. Right? So fear of being different, not conforming. So don't just see that as, like, watch out which movies you're watching. We're conforming to the world. Think, no, what am I doing to say no? Colossians 3:12, as those holy, chosen, and beloved, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, etc. Before you can do all those godly character traits, you have to have your identity nailed down. If you don't, you're going to be afraid of being different. What else? What distracts? Yeah, Taryn, over here. You got one? Nicole. Fear of ignorance. Go ahead.
Fear of, like, living it out wrong or in the correct way, and then someone asking us about it and being like, why are you doing it that way? And it's, well, I don't know, or I think it's this, and then they show you that it's the other way.
Or not having a good answer. I've tried to tell my kids that whatever answer they buy from me is going to be tested. I said, somebody's going to say, what? Would your dad tell you that? Would your dad tell you that? I said, you need to take this as the start of an answer to this question. You're going to have to own this and keep digging. Because everybody goes, well, I got to look for myself. I got to see. I'm different than my dad. I'm different than my church. I'm different. And all of a sudden, you start looking everywhere else other than where you've been given here. And our fear of not being able to defend it, all right? I don't know is sometimes the best answer you can give somebody to ask you a question. Say, I don't know. And they'll tell you sometimes. You say, no, just because you told me doesn't mean I know now. Let me think about that. Let me think about that. I need to go back to the source. He has given us everything pertaining to life and godliness. We're arguing for the sufficiency of Scripture, for the sufficiency of Christ. That's what we're arguing in every area. How you fix your financial mess, how you live with your health issues, how you wrestle between jobs. All right, we have a mission that goes above all those things, and it's all taken care of underneath from Christ and through his word, by his spirit. All right, anything else? Yeah, here, Nicole, and then Jody.
So I think that a big distraction, especially for me when I was younger, was wanting to do something for Christ, but seeing only the only way that things could be done for Christ was in big ways. So we go on missions trips.
There you go.
And we start some sort of ministry. We go to soup kitchens, things like that. They can only be done in these very specific acts of service, or when they're seen, or when they're just bigger, really. And the thing that, like, as I've grown learning that I'm proclaiming him every day, I'm not just proclaiming him in those big acts. So a more consistent message is in that everyday quiet obedience. It doesn't have to be large.
That's why I want somebody to read that book, Ordinary, by Michael Horton. He's wrestling. It's not just, I don't care about Michael Horton. I care about, they're finally realizing everybody's trying to live so large, large, large. And then they finally go, I can't do it. I can't do it. I feel like a failure. You're not a failure. You're wonderful. You're wonderful. You realize, I'm not wonderful. I'm not doing what he said. Maybe you need to say, and we're not going to be able to finish this. I'm just going to have to throw a bunch of these notes out. But I was going to say, part of the solution is look for the little pieces that of obedience that God has called you to. That is growth. If you can't notice them, you go, well, I don't know, I'm still failing, I'm still so depressed. Remember, I know it's crude. I said, get a big but. I'm very depressed, but God is helping me to look to him this week. And I remembered this one verse, and I took that with me. I'm still feeling not too nice, but I took this with me. Thank you, God. That's growth. That's growth. I had a bad attitude when I was cleaning the church. When I finally realized there's other people that probably have bad attitudes. You know what? I need to just get over it and see something beyond that. You know, I don't know. You play it out in the everyday, ordinary stuff and add a but to it. But God is working. But God is working. Find those little areas. Where is it? Jody.
What distracts and complicates from proclaiming Christ? I'm thinking about Scripture being full of examples and exhortations of clinging to God, of setting our hearts and our minds to seek him, to learn of him, to set our minds on him. And there's so many things in there. Like I said, intention before, to intentionally, I have to do this. So what might distract or complicate me from proclaiming Christ might be just like not attending to that, not being diligent, not deciding this is what I'm going to do and being more passive about it.
Just not thinking, right? How many times do we have to read in the Bible, you know, David, at the time when kings go off to battle, was on the roof and he saw Bathsheba. Is it the only opportunity to see somebody taking a bath? It was like he was missing his mission, was the point. He had another job to do. Where do your secret sins happen? The ones you wish nobody would know? Often happen at night. You're tired. You're alone. You're away. And at that point, you forgot the mission. You forgot the one who was better. You forgot the one who gave you provision. And you forgot to look further than what you were thinking about right then. Right? Intentional. I remember, Peter, last year, all right? I'll always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them. That my departure is soon. You have to remember this, all right? I'll tell you again until you all read Silver Chair, all right? Remember the signs. Remember the signs. Remember the signs. And you know what? God's merciful when you forget the signs. It's a mess. But after a while, you stop going, is he mad at me? Is he mad at me? And you start realizing, no, may your kingdom come and your will be done. I want to be a part of this. It's not, is he mad at me? Is he mad at me? You don't understand the gospel. I don't understand the gospel. I need to remember the gospel. And then I need to say, I want to be a part. Count me in. But I got to remember the signs. I got to remember the provision he's given. I got to remember the focus. I got to look further. Or so I don't grow weary in doing good, for in due season you'll reap if you don't lose heart. Right? Was there anybody else? Yeah. Who was it? Cindy, go, then Mom.
I had given up. What we think will fix things, that what we think is the solution, what we're telling people will make things better, and we're losing the sufficiency of Christ. Or our values, what we think will help or be comfort or peace, give us more peace or comfort. All these things can seem like, well, of course you do this. And we forget the part of Christ in that, his sufficiency.
Are I don't want to say misguided. Misguided or wrong, focus, value, whatever the other thing was. All right. So looking for what will answer, fulfill our misguided focus or values. If you see, but what you proclaim versus what you want to proclaim. Then we get back to where Jonathan was going. What should you be proclaiming? You need, if you're really God's, you got to look at not just, well, I wanted to lift up Christ. Well, maybe you're lifting up Christ wrong. Go sit at his feet and learn of him. You go, well, I'm just wrong. Back to what Taryn said. Oh, I'm afraid of getting it wrong. Then just go to him. Go to him. And that was one of the questions I was going to ask. What provisions has God given you in the gospel that you are not making full use of? We don't have time to answer that, but I want you to think about that. Not because, like she said, otherwise you're always looking. You're like, well, I just need peace. And so you look for every book on peace. And like, well, I'm so undisciplined. So you look on everything about discipline. And you forget the God who will call you. And you will be disciplined if you follow him. Don't do that. Do this. Right? Come to me. And you realize, whoo, it's quiet in here. When I'm with him, it's good. He restores my soul. See, so you could be distracted by looking for lesser values, things that you think you have to have, which he didn't say. He said, look to me. The Gentiles seek for all these things. Is there anybody else? Yeah, forgive me.
We know, or Satan knows to our flesh, what we can obsess over and not keep looking at him. It just so fills our mind that if it's a trial, a person, or something, we can just obsess, and then we're losing opportunities to proclaim Christ.
Whatever fills our mind. All right, I hate slow computers. Hate them. I have a laptop that it took like an hour to, you know, try to open everything up, and it just wouldn't free up. I've tried everything, and it's like, nope, just wait an hour, and you'll finally be able to move one word. I thought, no, we got to get I need some more RAM, right? You only have so many cells to be able to focus on things. You can only be afraid of so many things. And if you're afraid of the wrong things, you can't be afraid of the right things. And if you're busy trying to answer your fears with this, then you're not be able to be busy doing something else. So when you come in here and you have a funk on Sunday, he goes, it's a bad day at my house. It isn't being hypocritical to go, right, that's right, I got to keep working on that at my house. But when I'm in here now, how do we make it a good day in God's house? Not a fake day. It's we bring ourselves in here. Somebody else had a bad day. There's work to be done in here. The work of worship, the work of learning, the work of getting clarified so that we can go out and proclaim the right things. That's what we need to be doing. So whatever fills our mind that keeps from allowing us to meditate on let's just say gospel, jeez, I don't know, sufficiency or proclamation. Okay? All right, anybody else? All right, I got a ton more. We got to pray, okay? We're going to have to stop here. So, but just look, let me just, yeah, let it go. I'm going to just shoot through these. Because as I was writing, the lack of a clear mission makes every little thing larger than it should be. I got plenty of examples to talk about that, all right? Including, remember, you've heard me talk about being in kindergarten class, going to the bathroom. If I didn't, I had many other agendas beside what the teacher wanted, right? The lack of a clear mission makes every little thing larger than it should be. That's what discouraged me. It doesn't discourage me when we grow slow in here. It discourages me when everything is more important than what's being said in the front. Everything is more interesting than the song that's being sung. Nobody's thinking about, where'd this song come from? I wonder what they were going through. I wonder what this says about God. What verses came to my mind? I proclaim this. Whatever else, that's what bothers me, is that it's like, it's irrelevant. So, as I went through the report, okay, I was thinking about war, conflict, and death. And I thought, how is the gospel relevant? I wanted to talk about that. We're not going to, okay? How is the gospel relevant to that? You go, well, of course it's relevant. Good. What keeps the gospel from being the only gospel? Like a necessity. It encompasses everything. So we're going to talk about war. We're going to talk about death. We're going to talk about conflict. You're not going to talk about, I don't trust anybody anymore. You're going to think, no, the gospel has an answer for that. It's the only answer. So as we work in everyday life to go through this, all right, I'm just skipping everything here. Can you think of provisions God has given that would lead to a clearer proclamation of Christ? Make use of them. You're not going to do this perfectly. What Nicole said, stop doing the large. Start heading in the direction of saying, I'm taking this with me. God told me that. I'm taking that with me. Okay? Think of the little pieces that are part of heading toward a clearer proclamation of Christ that tend to get overlooked because our present feelings or desire for a final product, and praise God for them and keep building on those little pieces. Okay? We're going to go to prayer. And you just leave these verses up here as you glance up, you look around, and ask God to help us individually and together to be proclaiming the gospel and Christ at the center of that, and that we will build the bridges. It's a lot messier now. You don't just say Christ. You have to know people and be able to apply where Christ has given us to everybody's different situations. But ask God that that would be our desire here together, all right? We're going to take time to pray. You know how it works. We're going to use the microphones, all right? So just raise your hand, and these guys will be around. And then Pastor John will close in prayer here in a couple minutes, okay?
Lord, thank you that we would, wherever you are, helping us grow in the knowledge of God. But Lord, you gave us good examples in your word, even when you were here on earth. It was your custom to be in your house. You went off to pray regularly to be strengthened. Other than you did the daily things and they were supernatural, Father. It just goes on and on, and I plead that we wouldn't make you too small. I plead we would be people of prayer, of your word, and then living it out. Thank you wherever you do help us, but we each know how much more we need and how short life is, even as it was recorded in the reports of Kathy's homegoing, Carlos, Phyllis, Father, again, life is so short. Help us to hear you and obey and not get obsessed over different things that our flesh, Satan knows we can get obsessed over, but getting your answers from your word, how to respond to those things that obsess us and press on to know you, Father.
Pray for that we would know to not only care for the church, but the body in the church. I pray that we would encourage one another and build up in faith. I pray for the rest of this week that we would all do plans, but yet have time for you to pray and read. I pray that we would take time to just, like the Bible says, to get into your room, shut the door, and pray, not letting anything bother us. And I pray for the rest of this day that we would sleep and that the choir would be able to sing on Sunday. And in your name we pray, amen.
Father, thank you for the many things that were said here tonight that were in the report and for being able to read it and, again, for what you're accomplishing. Again, just sticks out in that book, A Quest for More. Living for something that transcends us, is above us, is beyond us. And just to be stretched here tonight through your word, again, Lord, you have given us everything. Lord, often we look for life elsewhere, or as Pastor John David said, the discouragements of life and the pressures and the demands, and we're looking for an end result now. Yeah. So, Lord, again, my mind's full, hard to articulate, but thank you for these truths. And pray that you would continue to sanctify and work these truths in us.
thank you so much for tonight. Thank you that we could look at your word and also at ourselves, mm-hmm. And to examine ourselves, our hearts, mm-hmm. also, and help us to take what you are saying to us from tonight, and especially to think about what we are proclaiming with yes. our lives, and yes. are we proclaiming Christ,
yes.
and in what way, mm-hmm. and are we faithful to yeah. you? What are we doing with the time that we have this on earth, especially now as we see the world is getting darker, and as we acknowledge things that are going wrong in this world, help us to become more and more aware of how we are following you.
Yes.
If we represent you in yes. this world,
yes.
And to be very, very responsible for what you given to us, mm. and I pray that you would help us with our insecurities, our
yes. Yes.
our weaknesses, yes. The things that, as Diana was saying, obsess us.
Yes.
Help us to take it to you and just keep going, as we were saying, and keep proclaiming you with the things that we still struggling with, and yeah. In spite of them, but also taking them to you, and thank you for sanctifying us. Thank you for hope of the gospel, and help us to give it to this world, first of all, the hope of the gospel,
yes.
not just what we think should be
yes.
done. And yeah. we pray for that you would strengthen each of us, and the faith of us, in each of us, that would grow, and we all would become full in Christ, in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Father, thank you so much for giving us life through Jesus Christ.
And yes.
thank you for allowing us to be sons and daughters adopted, Father, into your kingdom and into your family, that we may call you Father. Thank you, Lord, that this is what unites us together here in this body of Christ. And Father, I thank you, Lord, as we talk about proclaiming and
yeah.
what are we proclaiming. Father, I thank you for this building.
Mm-hmm.
Father, thank you for giving us a place where we can worship every Sunday and come yeah. back on Wednesday and Thursday and be used in other ways throughout the week at times.
Yeah.
Father, thank you for giving us a place that we can take care of, Father. And I pray, God, as I'm thinking about this tonight, about proclaiming and what do I proclaim and what ought I to proclaim. And Father, I pray that you would help us to proclaim you quietly, even in our hearts, Father, even
yes.
as we're
yes.
taking care of this building, when we're getting ready for VBS, whatever it might be, Father, that we're doing, that is sometimes tedious work, sometimes work that maybe somebody else could be doing, Father, but help us to see the bigger picture. Father, help us to have a greater desire to serve you. Father, help us not to see the little things as nothing, but to see them as valuable in your kingdom. Father, give us those attitudes that when we're here at work, serving however it might be, Father God, that we would be proclaiming you in our hearts. And then, Father, give us the means, the words, the courage, the fortitude to proclaim you in our conversations and just in our actions, our relationships, our decisions. Father, help us, God, as I've been thinking much about this recently, to cling tightly to you, Father, and to not let go. I thank you that you enable us to do what you would have us to do.
Thank you for the gospel. Father, thank you for the cross. Father, thank you for the people you called out to be your children. Thank you that we could have our names written down in heaven. Father, as Jody just mentioned, we thank you for this wonderful building that you provided for all the different facets of ministry, whether it be up front or behind the scenes. Father, help us to give you glory for even cleaning toilets. Father, may your grace and peace be multiplied through the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. As ministry of ushers, I stand in the back and I see so many things that could distract us from the word that comes from the pulpit. Father, help us to pay attention. Father, I read somewhere that there's demons up in the rafters looking for ways to distract people from your message that we should be proclaiming out in our neighborhoods, our own Jerusalem, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Father, again, thank you for your grace and your contentment. In Jesus' name.